Hi, everyone. I'm Ashley McManus, Senior Director of Global Marketing at SmartEye. Welcome to the Human-Centric AI Podcast, where each episode we interview thought leaders doing cutting-edge work in the AI space. A little bit about us. For over 20 years, SmartEye has developed AI in the form of eye-tracking technology that understands, supports, and predicts a person's intentions and actions. By carefully studying eye, facial, and head movement, our technology can draw conclusions about a person's awareness and mental state. Our eye tracking is providing new insights for research within aerospace, aviation, neuroscience, and more. Today, we have a very special episode featuring Dr. Ronel Kalyubi, former co-founder and CEO of Affectiva, currently deputy CEO of SmartEye, having a discussion with SmartEye CEO, Martin Krantz. In their conversation, Ronel and Martin touch on the significance of recent design wins, the methodology behind estimating revenue and lifetime value, and the exciting potential of combining interior sensing with generative AI. Let's listen in to learn more.
Hi, everyone. Rana and Martin here. We are here to talk about some exciting news that you may have seen. So, Martin, do you want to tell us what the news is?
Yeah, so the news is we have just received today our second interior sensing design win. So it's actually the fifth design win with the second OEM. So we announced a couple of weeks back one Korean OEM, and this time it's a European premium OEM that decided wisely to put interior sensing into the cars, which is addition to driver monitoring, which it already have. So it's existing customers widening the scope of their what they buy from us. Great news.
And this is super exciting news because this was basically the thesis behind merging Affectiva and SmartEye together back in 2021. And it's finally coming to fruition. So I'm personally super psyched about this news. It took a couple of years in the making, but we got there. The automotive industry, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it took about a year to merge both the software stacks and merge the teams as well. And ever since then, like 1 year after the merger, we have been promoting this combination of cabin monitoring, driver monitoring to OEMs. And we knew some time ago that we had really good traction and we had a strong offering and everything like that. But like always in automotive, it takes time to get the agreements inked and to get the deal done.
I like how you I ask you, okay, when do you think it's going to come in? And you'll say, any quarter now.
Any quarter.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, but I mean, it's a natural evolution for driver monitoring to become interior sensing. I think, of course, you want to keep track of the driver, but you also want to keep track of everything else inside of the car. Can you give some examples, Rana?
Yeah, exactly. So when we think about interior sensing, it's a combination of driver monitoring, which of course, you know, SmartEye has been a leader in this space for many, many years now, but combining it with cabin monitoring, which to your point, Martin, we're able to see what else is happening in the vehicle. And like the way we think about it is there are two main use cases. One is still safety, very much safety related. So for example, we're able to use computer vision to detect if people are wearing their seatbelts properly. I was just in Egypt a few days ago and people definitely do not wear their seatbelts properly. Well, we'll be able to detect that. And then other safety applications like child seat detection and child detection. So we're able to, unfortunately, every year, a number of infants and babies are forgotten in the car and they die of a heat stroke. Well, we can now detect if there's a car seat in the car and build a safety application for that scenario. But there's also comfort-related use cases, and this is where emotion AI comes into play, where we can detect the vibe or the sentiment inside the vehicle and personalized mobility experience. So we're seeing some of these features come to market. But maybe you can comment on the production timeline. When are we actually going to see cars on the road with this technology?
Yeah. Absolutely. So the last deal, which we got 2.5 weeks ago, it goes into production mid-2025. This one goes, I believe, in production in Q3 2025. So So it's quite soon, and as everyone knows, since there's approximately a three-year development timeline in automotive, we have been working with this for a while, of course, to be able to deliver so quickly. So, interior sensing comes in 25, and I'm sure there will be more launches in 26, 27, so to say. But up until that point, I mean, the bulk of the business in the automotive space is going to be driver monitoring, driven by legislation, primarily in Europe, where legislation mandates driver monitoring from 2026. So when do you think that will happen in the US, Ron, or will it happen in the US, this legislative push?
I know that there are a lot of constituents pushing for this, but I am actually not sure what the timeline is. Maybe you can also comment on the broader production timelines for our DMS design wins, and maybe also share with everybody how many design wins do we have and with how many OEMs we're dominating.
That's a great question. I think it's 21 OEMs. So we're allowed to talk about just a few of them, like BMW, Volvo, Polestar, and a few others. But most of them, we're still under NDA. We cannot talk about them. But let me say, one of the 21 OEMs is a small sports car manufacturer. Polestar is not a big manufacturer yet. But the rest of them, are really big ones. So, I mean, we have contracts with the biggest ones in the world, basically, with just a few exceptions. So it's massive. It's 320 car models, or as we call them, design wins. It's going to be huge. When this is ramping up now, we have maybe 15% or so of these cars in production right now, and they are still ramping up a bit. So it's not that they are at full production speed, all of them. But let's say that we have 60, 70, 80% of them in production, it's going to be quite massive actually for us.
So Martin, the press release mentions an estimated revenue of 100 million SEK for the recent design win, and which is essentially a combined estimated lifetime value exceeding 7.35 billion SEK. I guess, first of all, can you translate that into US dollars for those of us who are not familiar with the currency?
Easy enough, $10 million.
Amazing. And then can you kind of share with everyone, how do we calculate these estimates and I guess their significance for SmartEye's financial outlook?
Yeah, it's calculated it's quite simple. You take the license revenue, the software license revenue per car. Mm-hmm. If you have a car model, for example, the first one we got, BMW X5, it's produced at 150,000 units per year. So you take the volume of that car. You have to calculate also if it's a standard feature or an optional feature, of course. But you take the volume of the car times the license price times 7 years, because that's an average lifetime of a car model. So that's how we get to these numbers. So say when you say 100 million, this car in question that we announced today here in the interior sensing, we take the license price times the car volume, because it's going to be standard, times 7. Easy.
That's great. I love this too, because these are early days for interior sensing. It's just going to go, it's going to become more and more mainstream from here. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting. Maybe we can close by doing a little bit of a look ahead. What are our aspirations in SmartEye for interior sensing? And I guess, how do you envision the company's role in shaping the future of automotive technology? And I can definitely also share some of my thoughts,
So what we've had as an ambition for a long time is to be the market leader for DMS. That's what the ambition in 2015 when we got the first contract signed, and it's still the ambition. And we are, of course, on a very good way of going there because we have so many OEMs and so many car models as under contract. So the goal here is to be bigger than anyone else, to have economies of scale that's going to give us sustainable profitability. The ambition for interior sensing is the same. And interior sensing is an evolution of driver monitoring. So what we should do, or the strategy is, it's a very simple strategy to leverage the success in DMS into interior sensing and get these economies of scale going for us.
Yeah, which is super cool. One of the things that I'm especially excited about, which is something we showcased at CES this year. If you were there with us at CES, you probably saw a live demo of this, is basically combining our interior sensing technology and sensing technology with generative AI to be able to create this very empathetic, emotionally intelligent in-car companion. And we were able to demonstrate that by marrying kind of our interior sensing platform with a prompt engine that translates all of this information into a prompt into some of these generative AI tools, and then providing a voice interface to the generative AI tool and giving it a personality, et cetera. And again, I think this is really exciting, and it's something that, you know, we're creating a kind of a new potential product here. Is it's not just the sensing side anymore. It's combining the sensing with what do you do with these features to create an enhanced mobility experience. So,
the things we showed at CES really exceeded my expectations that were already high. And I mean, it's like you say, having an emotionally intelligent chatbot is so powerful. I mean, it gives you. I think emotion is just one part of it. It's about giving context to the generative AI prompt. So it was really well received. Of course, it was early days. It was our first stab at it. So we are still. I mean, there's absolutely room for improvement. But already what we showed at CES got us a lot of attention, I think, and a lot of great customer dialogues and discussions where we can say, okay. This is where we all know where the technology is today, but this was really about the future, I think, to see where are we going. And I think the car is a great place. I mean, of course, you want your car to understand you, to understand the context around you, and to be really, really clever at giving you what you need for every time you use your car. So I do believe this is the future.
Amazing.
Yeah. I mean, we have DMS for almost a decade. It seems to be evolving now into interior sensing. But what's next?
Yeah. So I think it's still early days for interior sensing. And at the moment, we're very focused on a specific set of features. And the sensing technology, if you want, is computer vision based. But imagine if we became multimodal, if our interior sensing solution evolved to become multimodal, so it combines multiple sensors. Maybe it's able to ingest wearable data, right? Or maybe it's able to ingest, you know, beyond kind, you know, activities and gestures and you know, I don't know, radar and other signals, right? And then combine all of this information and all of this context to be even more intelligent. What do you think?
I think this is a very fascinating concept, and I also think thinking about how this would how it interacts with generative AI. Also with sort of being able to extract data about you and the passengers from the car in order to make it even more intelligent and more smart, but also how do you do it in a way that's ethical? I think there's some hard problems here to work on.
One of the things that we did a few years ago, but it hasn't been productized yet, is imagine if now the car, the interior sensing solution, is able to follow you over time, right? Like every day you're in your car, it's got all this data. Again, ethics, how to do this ethically while respecting people's privacy is going to be really important. But it can start to see trends. It can start to say, you know, Martin, every Monday morning when you're driving to the office, you're kind of grumpy, like, you know, here are some suggestions, music or like stops for coffee or whatnot. So it starts to learn people's behaviors and it can be proactive with suggestions and solutions. I think that's going to be the next evolution of AI, this idea of an AI agent that knows you so well, it can act on your behalf in a way that's aligned with what you want. So,
but do you see us as Smart Eye supplying the base, the technology to accomplish it? Or do you even see us moving into that space of actually providing this agent to car owners or car companies?
I think historically we've been on the sensing side, right? Historically, we've been on the sensing side, but we can climb up the food chain, if you like. And if we do this longitudinal data analysis and own that data, that could be quite powerful. I don't know if we're going to be the ones who build, you know, the full stack, if you like, and become the AI agent, but you never know. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm so glad we got to cover this news live, Martin. This was fun to do. And thank you everybody for watching. Until the next design win.
Yes. And it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
The conversation between Martin and Rana highlights the transformative potential of interior sensing in the automotive industry, emphasizing its evolution from driver monitoring systems and its integration with generative AI for enhanced personalization. They envision Smart Eye's leadership in interior sensing, driven by a commitment to innovation and ethical considerations, paving the way for a future where vehicles understand and cater to the needs of occupants seamlessly. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget to subscribe to our human-centric AI podcast on iTunes, Amazon Music, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts for new episodes. We are also on social media, so please reach out to us on X, formerly Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram to share any feedback you have on the show. Don't forget to rate us and comment with your feedback to help make the podcast more discoverable for others. Until next time, thanks for listening.